What if I told you that a highly paid software developer, logging into a morning video call from this quiet little coastal village in Ireland, and a displaced refugee opening a laptop in a temporary shelter in Germany are actually driving the exact same tectonic shift?
It sounds wild, I know.
Right. Like, you might think they have absolutely nothing in common. But according to this massive stack of research we have today from the Horizon Europe project known as Remaking, they're both essentially ground zero for this fundamental transformation in how the entire continent operates.
And we should be clear, we aren't here today to talk about remote work as just some like quirky HR perk.
No, exactly. We're not debating the merits of flexible scheduling or doing laundry during a conference call. You already know all that. Today, our mission in this deep dive is to aggressively summarize how this project views remote work, not just as flexibility, but as a massive driver of social, economic, and territorial transformation across Europe. Okay, let's unpack this, because to truly grasp the scale of what Remaking is studying, we really have to look at how researchers are actually measuring this.
Right, because you have to stop looking at remote work solely through the lens of your own home office.
Yeah.
They treat it as a complex system operating across three interconnected dimensions.
Three dimensions, got it.
Yeah, so the first dimension is the individual. And this goes way beyond just, work-life balance.
Right, we're talking about the hidden stuff.
Exactly. The research digs into the profound psychosocial pressures. So things like the deterioration of professional identity, excessive screen exposure, and the very real physical consequences of just unsuitable homeworking conditions.
Because, I mean, a lot of people don't actually have the spatial footprint for a dedicated office.
No, they're working from a kitchen table or the edge of a bed, which causes real ergonomic strain.
Which naturally spills over into the second dimension, right? The organizational level.
Yeah.
Because if a company's workforce is suddenly dealing with isolation and all these spatial constraints across like 12 different time zones.
The entire DNA of how that company operates has to mutate. You can't just manage by walking around the office anymore.
Yeah, you really can't.
Companies have to figure out how to foster innovation without physical proximity and how to coordinate this scattered workforce without heavily surveilling them.
Right, which sounds like a nightmare for traditional management.
Oh, it completely dismantles traditional management theory.
Yeah.
But neither the individual struggles nor the organizational headaches fully captured the real disruption. That happens in the third dimension, which is the socioeconomic and territorial impact.
Okay, and I was trying to visualize how these three interact, and I realize it's kind of like dropping a pebble in a pond.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so the individual worker going remote, that is the pebble entering the water.
Right?
The company adapting to them, that's the immediate splash. But the territorial dimension, that is the ripple effect that eventually reshapes the entire shoreline.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Because remaking studies these together to get a comprehensive view rather than an isolation. Those ripples are quite literally redrawing the map.
Because once work is decoupled from the traditional corporate headquarters, the whole relationship between big cities and rural areas fundamentally changes.
Completely. Historically, the knowledge-based economy, so the highest-paying tech, finance, and research jobs, was totally locked inside major urban centers.
The Parises, the Londons, the Milans.
Exactly. That created this massive concentration of wealth and infrastructure while leaving peripheral regions and second-tier cities suffering from severe brain drain. But now that wealth and talent is being redistributed.
Wait, but is a sudden influx of highly paid tech workers into a sleepy rural town actually a good thing? I have to push back on that utopian vision a bit.
You're right to push back. It is totally a double-edged sword. On one hand, yes, there are massive opportunities.
Like population attraction and economic diversification.
Right, and a fresh injection of local consumption. They're buying groceries, dining out. But the risks are serious. It is essentially gentrification on fast forward.
Because the local towns don't have the structural capacity for it.
Exactly. When a wave of remote workers earning big city salaries descends on a small town with limited housing, the mechanics are brutal. You get spiking housing pressure, strained public services, and locals just getting priced right out of their own neighborhoods.
Wow, yeah. So to understand why one local town might thrive while another totally struggles with these new arrivals, we have to look at who is actually moving and why.
Right, because the motivations are wildly different.
Which brings us to the drivers of all this, megatrends versus disruptions.
Yes. So remaking distinguishes between self-selected remote work, which is driven by megatrends like digitalization and globalization.
So people choosing to move.
Exactly. And on the other hand, you have enforced remote work, which is driven by disruptions. Think pandemics or wars.
Stuff you have absolutely no choice over.
Right. And they studied this through four very specific groups.
Let's aggressively summarize these, starting with the first one. Digital nomads. They looked at Greece and Portugal for this, right?
Yeah, Greece and Portugal. This is highly mobile, self-selected work. These people are chasing lifestyle and community.
But they create super complex, localized impacts, right? Because they need short-term housing.
Exactly. They put intense pressure on local housing and services without really integrating deeply into the long-term economy. Then group two is highly skilled tech workers, specifically looking at Ireland.
Also self-selected, but very different from the nomads.
Very different. They are benefiting from hybrid models to move out of expensive tech hubs like Dublin and into second-tier cities. They want a professional ecosystem, so they put down roots.
Right, so they actually care about the local schools and the long-term community.
Exactly. Now, group three shifts into the enforced category, post-pandemic workers in Italy, specifically Milan and Bologna.
This one blew my mind because it's not just working from the couch. It's evolving into what they call proximity working.
Yeah, proximity working is fascinating. You're working closer to home, using local co-working spaces or suburban hubs, but not necessarily at your own house.
But you're still not commuting all the way into the city center.
Right, which completely upends the local transit authorities who rely on those commuter fares while simultaneously straining the daytime infrastructure of the suburbs.
Right, because the suburb now suddenly needs more cafes and better sidewalks at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Exactly. But the fourth group is by far the most intense, displaced Ukrainian workers.
Right. Enforced migration due to war. They studied this in Germany, the Czech Republic, and Ukraine itself.
Yes, and for this group, remote work is a vital lifeline. It's a survival mechanism for income and maintaining their professional identity.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the contrast is just staggering. You have the digital nomad in Portugal doing this out of pure privilege and a lifestyle choice.
And then you have a displaced worker in Germany using the exact same digital tools just to survive.
And facing extreme vulnerabilities while doing it. Legal uncertainty, language barriers.
Yeah, they often can't enter the local physical job market, so they have to work remotely.
Yeah.
But they might be doing it from a crowded temporary shelter.
Which is just a totally different universe of remote work. And I think this is the crucial pivot point. Because the experiences of a tech worker in rural Ireland and a displaced worker in Germany are so vastly different, we obviously can't govern them with the same set of rules.
This raises an important question, right? How do governments actually manage this chaos?
Which is the whole so what of the remaking project.
Yeah.
Moving from just research to actual evidence-based place-sensitive policy.
Place-sensitive is the key term here. A policy designed for metropolitan Milan is going to completely fail in a small coastal village in Greece.
Because the impact is hyper-local.
Exactly. Local authorities have to tailor their approaches based on their specific digital infrastructure, their transport links, and their housing capabilities. They have to do carrying capacity assessments.
Right, before they go launching some flashy digital nomad visa, they need to know if their local broadband can even handle it.
Or if their housing market is going to totally collapse. They have to protect workers and ensure territorial resilience.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means your local government's ability to adapt to your remote work habits. And the habits of everyone moving into your town will quite literally dictate whether your community thrives or becomes completely overwhelmed in the next decade.
The stakes are incredibly high. Remote work isn't just a personal convenience anymore.
No, it is a profound vehicle for socioeconomic transformation and territorial rebalancing. It's rewriting the map.
It really is.
Well, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. If 20% of the homes in your own neighborhood suddenly became full-time remote offices tomorrow, what invisible pressures would start to crack?
Oh, that's a great question.
Right. Like, would your favorite local cafe be completely overrun? Would your local internet grid just buckle under the strain? Or would your local housing market spike out of reach? But on the flip side, what unexpected new communities might bloom if everyone was suddenly living and working locally?
It's a reality we are all going to have to navigate very soon.
It really is. Well, thank you so much for taking this incredibly fast, aggressive, deep dive into the future of work with us today. Keep questioning the systems around you.